Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Congratulations to the Binghamton Colonials.
We beat a D3 team.
Hartwick
Hawks. Good for you.
Yeah. But you beat them well, 97-65.
You're a D3 team.
How's it taste, Hartwick?
You're a D3 team. They're a soccer.
Not Hartwick.
They're a soccer school, Hartwick.
Stick
they're
to soccer.
Very
school.
Stick slip, to soccer. Gary.
It's right near, I think it's in Oneonta, New York.
Yes, it's exactly where it is.
What
yes.
is our record, though?
3-4, 2-0 at home.
Yeah, okay, so home court.
The Bi-League court. You don't go in there and get an easy win.
Dr. Bi-League.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We're live at Chatter, where we are open for breakfast, starting at 7 in the morning every day. We have some people here. The crowd will build. We have some people. We have Bill Isaacson here, so I'm happy about that.
Yay.
We also have some people from Seattle who asked me, as I walked in, do you do this all the time? Do you do it every day? So they must be real good fans.
Yeah.
So I explained, we do it when we do it, about 200 days a year, yes. And they said, oh, wow, it's great. So I don't know how long they're going to be here.
There's a little wee one out there, too.
There's a wee one. Early a wee riser. One is out there, oh, so that's
casual
really
casual fans, don't.
Tori Clark is here. David Aldridge is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is running the board and will do news. If you want to know where we are directly across the street from the Friendship Heights Metro Station, which, to my knowledge, is not in flames yet.
Not yet, but it's not, early.
It's early in the day. Sure. We are in the District of Columbia, the capital of the United States of America. And I don't really have much today. I have to be honest. I mean, I watched a little bit of a couple of things last night, mm-hmm. and I wanted to start. Michael and Liz and baby boy Bootsy came over last night, and I held the baby,
wow.
right, Michael?
Do we have evidence?
You held him for 3.5 minutes, at which point you started yelling, he threw up on me. He threw up on
no,
me.
No, I said
he did
he's
no
heavy.
Such thing.
He said he's getting really heavy. He must weigh 20 to 25 pounds now. What does he weigh?
He's just over 15 pounds.
He's really, you could curl this kid for an hour and get very, very strong. And then I said to Liz, okay, you know, I've proven this. Take this baby back.
He tried
back.
To guilt her. Like, he wants his mother. He needs his mother.
Yes.
So he's the size of a ham. And you after 3 minutes, said that's enough.
That was enough for me because I'd gone to the gym earlier in the day, and I was tired.
The one out.
I was tired. So we had on television in the background for essentially white noise. But there was we had on the Maryland-Syracuse game. And the Maryland-Syracuse game, the absurdity of the Maryland-Syracuse game is not that these two schools played, because, sure, they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. They are schools capable of winning the national championship. And they're big-time power. Well, no, Maryland has won and Syracuse has won. So maybe not these particular teams.
These particular
but this is
teams,
but, yes. you, but yeah. these are good job schools.
Absolutely.
You know, that's all I'm saying. These
Absolutely.
Are big-time yes. schools. The fact that they were in the Big Ten ACC Challenge
yes.
is, in fact, and I mean, I thought about this last night, the only word for it is ludicrous. Now, I know that down the road, people who are 5 and 8 and 10 years old now, and this is going to be the conferences that these schools have always been in, they're not going to think that this is crazy. The Atlantic Coast Conference was formed for a reason. The Atlantic Coast Conference. Okay, Maryland should be in the Atlantic Coast Conference because you can basically stand on the top of College Park and see the water. Well, it's close enough.
Yeah.
It's close enough. The schools that were in it, where you started at school, North Carolina State, hey. Torrey, North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, South Carolina.
Close enough to the coast.
Georgia Tech down the road. I mean, these schools, that's why it existed. It was a Southern college basketball conference when it started.
And a great basketball. Even if
Absolutely.
You didn't like basketball, it was a great conference.
And you can say this about South Carolina and North Carolina and Virginia and Maryland at parts. They border the water. Close. They're on the Atlantic coast. If you want to let Miami in, I'm not going to yell and scream.
Right.
Because Miami's on the water, even though it's too far south for this conference.
But it is
Boston's on the water.
Well, yeah. So Maryland, it's okay for them to be there.
Fine.
Well, now Maryland's in the Big Ten, which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's a Midwestern football conference. It's a ridiculous position that Maryland is there. Syracuse.
They only lost 66-6 the other week.
That's
Penn
right.
State.
Right. They. You know what? The football coach that they hired, and I thought that was a good hire when it was made because he was an assistant in Michigan and all of that. They do very badly against the good teams. They get beat by hundreds of points.
They lost all their quarterbacks, I understand. But they don't do well.
The defense is not run by the quarterbacks,
David. That's correct.
Right? So they're not very good.
That's correct.
Anyway, Syracuse belongs in the Big East, a relatively new conference, a essentially, Syracuse was the exception to the rule, a Catholic school Northeast basketball conference. Mm-hmm. As far south as Georgetown and as far north as Boston College. And Syracuse is in a landlocked position in New York State. Well, landlocked's not fair because it's near the Finger Lakes. It's near, lakes caused by volcanic eruption and glaciers pulling back 10,000 years ago. But you can't stand on the top of any building in Syracuse and see the Atlantic Ocean.
That's correct.
And now they're in the ACC, and they don't belong in the ACC. Mm-hmm. This comes to no particular point other than you get to an age and your universe has been disrupted by money. Because Boston College is patient zero on this. Boston College left the conference it belongs in, the Big East, and went to the ACC, and now Pittsburgh is in it.
Mm-hmm. But this makes you less inclined to watch because you're offended by them being in the wrong conference.
No, I was less inclined to watch because Michael, Liz, and Bootsy were over. But because it was a close game the whole time. Syracuse won by a little. You know, but the fact that the Big Ten and the ACC are playing in upstate New York, right, it just makes no sense. No. In one of the legitimate Big Ten ACC games, where Wisconsin, a legitimate Big Ten school, mm-hmm. against Virginia, a legitimate ACC school, did you see the amount of points Wisconsin scored?
I did not.
37.
Ooh. Well, Virginia's good defense. Ooh.
37 points. Ooh. Wisconsin is usually a top 25 team.
Yes.
37 points. Anyway, so that's what...
Okay, I have a Syracuse. I did not watch, but Saturday, as I was telling Dave before the show, I went downtown with my friend Lori, and we watched the GW women play the Syracuse women. And she thought,
Was there a particular?
Well, Lori thought it would be nice for us to go because my daughter goes to Syracuse. Devin had absolutely no interest in going to watch the Syracuse women play the GW women.
Right.
But it was really fun to watch.
Have been in a crowd of 100.
Maybe 500.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Syracuse parents travel.
Okay.
GW parents do not.
Yeah.
I think we were the only GW fans there.
Yeah.
And I was saying to David, the GW women were hustlers. They never, ever gave up.
Well, they
never
gave up. They have a strong history of programs. So what was Joe's last name?
Joe McKean.
And he's now at Northwestern.
Right. And the current coach, David,
Jim Rosati was an All-American basketball player. Yes.
Really good. They love our admin at GW, loves her, surprise there. The Syracuse women were so fit. Were really, really fit and well-conditioned, and they were really good. And I wonder how much of a lap over do they get, if any, from the Syracuse men's team. I mean, it must make them just step up the level of their game a little bit. Maybe. Because they play in a school like Syracuse, which has a great basketball.
Who does the Syracuse coach look just like?
I don't know who the Syracuse coach is.
It's a guy. He's not overly tall.
Right. He looks just like...
He looks like that actor.
Joe Pesci.
The not overly tall actor. Yes.
Who's not overly
Kevin,
tall?
Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like is that who he looks like, Kevin Hart?
Yeah. Because
he looks just like somebody.
Okay.
I actually thought it was Tirico. I thought he looked just
more like
Tirico. I think show David. David had everything wrong about this guy because didn't even know it was a guy.
I don't know who the Syracuse women's basketball coach is.
Well, Tirico went to Syracuse. Okay. Maybe they're recruiting people who look like their grads.
Well, vague resemblance to Tirico.
Oh, no, he looks just like Tirico.
No, seems to work.
No,
so then I watched a few plays of the football game.
Yes.
And I was not interested in it at all. Mm-hmm. Houston at Baltimore. Yeah. Because Houston lost all its great stars and is a middling team. And then Baltimore now has... Baltimore has defense, which they've always had. Not as great as it used to be, but good.
Good. Good defense.
And they have a great kicker.
Yes, they do.
And that's pretty much what they've got. So they resort. They know their offense is nothing.
Yeah.
So they resort. They go on fourth down. They go. Because,
why not?
Are you going to do?
Yeah, why not?
Because if you don't make it, your defense is going to hold them.
Yeah.
And they do fake punts.
Right.
And they do stuff like this. And that's how they won that game. And when you think about, they won the Super Bowl recently, within the last 6 years?
3 years ago.
Is it that recent?
No.
It was his Super Bowl, right? So that was 2014?
So, okay.
2013, I think.
2013.
Okay.
So here's Joe Flacco, who was heralded at that time as a great, great playoff quarterback, which his record indicates.
Mm-hmm.
And he's big, and he's strong, and he's tough, and he throws a great deep ball. But if you don't have Steve Smith, and you don't have Torrey Smith, and you don't have Anquan Boldin, you don't have Dennis Pitta, who's he throwing the great deep ball to?
Well, Mike Wallace, but Mike Wallace is old. 50-50 guy.
Yeah, and he's a retread guy at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't have any sort of an offense, and I don't know that there's any guy in football who's waned more than Flacco from that height. Yeah. From that height of winning a Super Bowl and being a great playoff quarterback. Flacco last night threw 32 passes and got 141 yards out of it.
No, it was all dink and dunk.
So that's, you know, so what, that's like Mitch Trubisky.
Right, right, right.
So what, you know, what do they have? What do they have?
This is
and yet they, Baltimore and Atlanta are the ones who are ascending in the division. Sure.
When did they make the decision who plays which games on Monday night? Because I did try for show prep. I thought I should watch, and then I got bored, so I went to watch the
March or April when you're hoping that this is a great matchup?
Well, you thought, I mean, I'm sure they thought Deshaun Watson would be playing and playing well as he was.
He was.
He was playing well. It's almost all quarterback-based, I think, in the NFL, right?
I would think at this
point. In
terms
of scheduling, right?
Yeah, well, you want to get stars, but Baltimore never had stars. Baltimore had a defense. No. They had Ray Lewis was a star.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrell Suggs is not a star. So I wonder what the rating on that one was. I mean, I didn't, you know.
Did you watch
any of it when you got home?
I did not. I was watching the end of the Maryland-Syracuse game. I think with the Falcons, or with Baltimore, it's just more noticeable because we had that argument for years as to whether or not Flacco was elite.
Yeah.
Which he said he was.
Right, and I think just because of that, and then the money that they had to pay him, that's why all these stats become more noticeable in these later years.
And that's the critical thing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks and wide receivers and pass rushers, but mostly quarterbacks, get the biggest amount of money. When you win a Super Bowl and your quarterback's ready to go, you have to give him all this money, and you cannot then afford the other players.
Right. Well, that's the cautionary tale. It's the gamble that you take in football. And everybody does it. You're right. I mean, the Patriots did it with Tom Brady. The Eagles did it for years with Donovan McNabb. And the Ravens had to do it with Flacco. And they mortgaged their future.
And would they have been... as well off, if not better off, to say, you want to go, because we're built on something else. We're not built on offense.
There's a corollary here in the nation's capital. With Cousins, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's the exact
because
same
he's
thing.
Going to leave, and what do they got? What do they got?
Unless you pay him a ton of money.
Andy's already been paid for the last couple of years.
Right. Well, I mean, unless you pay him a ton of money, he's going to walk.
So what's interesting to me about that, because it brings in San Francisco, it brings in Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Who it doesn't look, another self-proclaimed genius.
They're taking their time with him. He just got there. I mean, you know, throw him in.
Like, what do you think, you want to play him in March? How much time you got? You got four games left.
What difference does it make? Seriously, what difference does it make?
It makes this difference. Do you then go after Kirk Cousins?
You just gave up a draft pick, a high one, for Garoppolo, so the answer would be no.
So you think Cousins doesn't go there, and Cousins doesn't go to the Rams?
No.
So maybe Cousins ends up in Washington.
No, well, I mean, I still think Denver could go after him. I have said for months that I still think the Steelers would be smart to go after him because Ben, while he's playing great now,
no spring chicken.
Yeah.
Well, but Cousins is going to be 30. So if Ben plays two more years,
Ben isn't going to retire because he was sort of saying, I'm done at the.
He says that every year.
Right. But I mean,
he's an unbelievable diva.
Yeah, he is.
I think more than anybody in the league.
But then he throws these incredible passes.
You know what? It's a little easier to throw those incredible passes when Antonio Brown throwing it to.
No doubt, but it's on his hands.
Yeah.
Every ball is on his hands.
It is. All right, we will take a break. We will actually talk to somebody who knows about football when we return. Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is SeatGeek Read. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Consequently, make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And no, consequently, was not in the copy. I added that myself, just sort of showing off.
Well,
best
done.
Of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek, the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code Tony today. That's promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by David Bushman from St. Louis. Says, attached is a song that my band, The Great Transparency, did back in 2018-ish. We didn't even get to 2018. So how could it be back in 2018-ish?
Maybe it's from the future.
Yeah, exactly. It's old but good, just like you. Shout out to my fellow little Alex Drum for playing bass okay on this song. Also, a shout out to my son Oliver, whose birth announcement was skipped over by Nigel earlier this year.
Yeah, that was
me. He was born on April the 8th.
Nice job.
Love the show. Thanks for all you do. Thanks, David Bushman.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, sorry. I just turned his music off.
Oh. No.
Wow.
What is the problem?
Wow. Because he's taking
a
shot at me.
Don't take shots at
people take shots at me all the time.
Well, I have thinner skin than you, believe it or not.
Jason LaConfora joins us now from CBS Sports. Jason, I don't know how you feel about this, but obviously I had a disagreement yesterday, like a real disagreement, with Wilbon on the PTI show over the fight between Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. I thought it was a very serious deal, and I thought they should be suspended at least one, and I advocated for two. They got suspended by two. Wilbon said he didn't care and loved the fight. And I said, this is lawlessness. And this is Michael Crabtree had no intention of playing in that game. How do you view this? How do you view the whole thing and the punishment?
You know, I'm kind of torn on this because I feel like the league often is all over the place on these issues, and it's hard to find anything linear or coherent in how these various on-field discipline issues are sort of handled and processed. But I'm all for trying to get this stuff out of the game. I mean, this is not, you know, the WWF. Like, every time these two come to your town, it shouldn't be a grappling match. Like, they're there to play football, not to see if one guy could snatch the other guy's chain and, you know, who can throw the most punches. The more I looked at it, the more I was like, this almost seemed like these two were in cahoots. Like, this was premeditated and this was more important to them than the game itself. And for it to spill over on the sidelines like it did, and it's taking out, you know, camera people and the chain gang and anybody else unfortunate enough to be there, you know, I think it's probably a bridge too far. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what, this is different than the A.J. Green, Jalen Ramsey one, where it really did seem to just kind of stem over from on-field actual football activities. This was almost like, you know, these two had sent notes to each other like, you know, I'll meet me behind the oak tree at 3:15 after recess, you know, and make sure everybody's there to watch. I don't know. I don't think there's really a place for that in football.
I was struck by the fact that neither coach, Vance Joseph for Denver and Jack Del Rio for Oakland, blamed the player on the other team. Mm. Both coaches said, this is ridiculous. Yeah. We can't have this. So neither of these players was going to get any support. I watched it. The first couple times I watched it, I was convinced that Crabtree was the antagonist and the worst person in it. But then it was pointed out to me yesterday on another replay that Talib did it again and yanked off some gold chain that Crabtree had. And so I sort of modified as to who was the antagonist. Who do you think was the antagonist?
I'm not sure, and I guess that's part of the problem. When it's that sort of over the top, and it for it to have, like, started on the field and then spilt, like, they covered a lot of ground.
Yes.
You know? Like, they took up a lot of terrain. If you were watching that from Google Maps up above, you'd have been like, these dudes are like human bowling pins. They're like bowling balls knocking down pins all over the place. Like, what the hell am I watching? I don't really know, Tone. I don't get the, like, my daughter plays under 13 travel soccer. Like, not like, this isn't like elite stuff. You know what I mean? Like, right. B team. They make sure everyone has their little earrings out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, you've got those in, honey. You got to take them off. Like, no rings. Why are dudes wearing chains onto a football field?
Right.
I just don't know how that's necessary. And then I don't know if you saw this part. Crabtree was like, oh, yeah, I was ready for it. I had my chain taped down. Like, he taped it to his skin.
Take it off.
Knowing this might happen. Like, just don't wear it, bro. I mean, it's only 3 hours out of your life. The whole thing is ridiculous.
And these are all pro quality players. What are you doing to your teammates?
This is what they're thinking about, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm just picturing this scene, like, a half hour before kickoff. And he's, like, turning to the other defensive back, or, like, the other receivers in Oakland, like, do you think I need more tape on my chain? Do you think Talib will be able to rip this from my flesh? Like, I don't know, man. I'm with the coaches on this one. And you know what? Often in this league I get frustrated because when there is a lack of institutional control on the sidelines, it's always like nothing to see here. You know, I go back to the Josh Norman, Odell Beckham, and how that was allowed to just, you know, get completely out of control. I go back to some of the things that the Cincinnati Bengals said after Vontaze Burfict does what he does every other week or so. Recently, they've kind of started to recalibrate there, but it's taken like 5 years. So, you know, hats off to both coaches for saying,
yes,
you know, my guy was at fault here too. You know what I mean? However it started, and clearly this bleeds back to, you know, past years, we got to do better than that.
See, I always thought that Roger Goodell came in and decided, I'm going to be the law and order commissioner. And many of his penalties in the early days I thought were completely wrong and way too severe.
Mm-hmm.
I could have seen giving them more games out on this because this was not a football act.
Yeah.
This was clearly, and I agree with you, clearly premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hurting your team. I mean, you are. You're too good for this.
Right, right.
You're too good for it.
Well, and it's just a bad look for the league. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, in the last, whatever, 12 to 15 months since the start of last year, the optics and the everything sort of around the league is under such a microscope, and understandably so. But when, you know, you're struggling to get your broadcast partners to understand what's going on, and some of your sponsors to understand what's going on. Not that I expect every single player to uphold the shield. Like I'm not talking all that mumbo jumbo, but I mean, for it to look like two guys planned a fight on in the middle of an NFL game, that's just it can't happen. So
reminded me of is when there's a pitcher in baseball and he's waited a month and a half to throw at a hitter.
What's the name in Bryce Harper?
Right.
Strickland, the guy from the Giants.
Right.
The Giants.
And I would say, no, you're not going to just miss a couple of days. You're going to miss a month because this is not a baseball act.
Yeah.
This is an act of personal revenge. Yeah. And you're out of here. I'm sorry. You're out for that. So, all right, I'll move on to Wilbon's favorite topic, which is bad coaching and stupid people. And I'm going to ask you, because of the red zone, I mean, you're watching every game. I know that. Doug Marrone, his calls late for Jacksonville. He's throwing. He's got a terrible quarterback.
Yes.
And he's asking him to throw the ball. And they lose the game because, I believe, because of coaching in that particular thing. What do you make of that?
I agree with you. Blaine Gabbert throwing on the run right to Tyrann Mathieu. You'd probably, you know, in hindsight, want to avoid that.
No, Blake Bortles. Not Gabbert. Blake Bortles.
Bortles.
Yeah.
They don't have many people to throw to. You know, they've got injured receivers there. They don't get anything out of the tight end position. You know, Fournette's been banged up, and he was on the sidelines quite a bit, and he was ineffective when he did play. I mean, this is what they're going to face when they play anybody with a modicum of defensive ability. They are going to sell out to stop the run, and they will go, you know, they'll leave people in single coverage. And they'll try to jump routes thinking, you know, Bortles is going to telegraph where he's throwing the ball. And in that instance, it still took an athletic play to make the play.
Right.
But, like, that's what guys in the NFL do. And it was pretty clear, you know, he cut off half the field. He's rolling to his right. There's only two receivers there. Only one of them seems to even know what the play is. Yeah, that's not great. Now, I don't know what his other options really were other than just run the football, you know what I mean, and try to out-ugly them, which I agree that's – who they're going to have to be, and they should embrace that. They don't have a quarterback. It's very hard to win in the league without a quarterback, and they've done it with a statistically significant defense, one that ranks literally first in many key metrics.
Hmm.
And they run the ball well for the most part. So that'll keep you afloat. I mean, look at Baltimore last night. I mean, that was hideous. I mean, I'm sure you fell asleep in the second quarter, Conan. I wish I could have.
No, I talked about it earlier.
I was hazard pay watching that last night.
I talked about it earlier. Flacco, I don't know that there's anybody in the league who has fallen from a height as far as Flacco has in a relatively short amount of time. But he has no receivers. He's got nothing.
Separates, and he's gun-shy now, and they're not going to take many deep shots because he doesn't think they're going to catch the ball anyway. The one guy who is fast, who plays quasi-regularly, is Perryman. He can't catch the football. No, they've got issues, but they won that game. I mean, they averaged 4 yards per attempt again, and they won, I won't say comfortably, quasi-comfortably, because they played defense, and they've got really good special teams and a good kicker. Like,
Great kicker.
That's it. In the AFC, that's going to get you in the playoffs. It doesn't matter how horrific your offense is, and that's Jacksonville's reality too. However, in January, those flaws will be exposed to a further degree, and the question for them is, are we trading for Alex Smith? Are we trading for Tyrod Taylor? Are we trading for Eli Manning, or are we drafting a quarterback, you know, or are we trying to sign Drew Brees? Because there's no way Blake Bortles is going to be there. Tom Coughlin has to see this for what it is.
Thank you for mentioning Kansas City parenthetically. What happened? They were 5-0. Damn. Alex Smith threw five games, had 11 touchdown passes and no interceptions.
No pitch.
Yeah.
They averaged 33 points a game to the first five. They've averaged 18 since. What happened there?
Well, the defense was never that great, and when the offense slowed down and they stopped playing with a lead, they couldn't just rush the passer, and they had to defend the run and the pass, and they have linebackers who really are not special anymore, who can't really run, who started getting exposed. Besides Marcus Peters, they don't have a corner on the team, which is why they dragged Darrell Revis out of retirement to play for free. I don't know what he's doing. We'll see how that goes. You know, the key metric for me in the first those five games, when Alex Smith was the MVP and he had a QB rating of 129, best in the league, he was averaging 8.8 yards per attempt. They were playing big boy, hang 'em out there football. Since then, since that five-game winning streak, he's averaging 6.8 yards per attempt, and it's 9 touchdowns, 5 picks, and it's a QB rating of 80.
What happened to the running back?
They can't run the ball.
Kareem
anymore.
Hunt.
What happened to Hunt?
The first 5 weeks, 122 a game. Since then, 47 a game, 11 carries. Well, for 17 yards.
You know, the other team has coaches,
the Bills
too.
The can't stop the run, and that's what they did. I talked to some scouts yesterday who say they think that Andy got a little too caught up in some of these RPOs, these run-pass options, and some of the college stuff that they put in for Alex Smith that got them going early when the run game was going, and you really had issues of figuring out who to defend at the line of scrimmage. Now, they've gotten a little too cute. Maybe they've gotten away from running the football too much. They've gotten away from enough of a traditional offense to where they are establishing the run early in the game. Andy, they don't think, is giving them enough volume in the run game. And look, Tyreek Hill, remember when Devin Hester was going to become a receiver? Right? And they took him from gadget guy and return ace.
Yes.
And now he's going to be our number two receiver. How did that go?
Didn't go well.
You know, I think you're seeing that with Tyreek Hill right now. And, you know, he isn't a complete receiver, and he's not going to run the whole route tree. And instead of just giving him his three bubble screens a game and seeing what he can do, you know, they're now trying to implement him as a full cog. And it's not working. Kelce seems frustrated. He's been losing his stuff lately because he's not getting the ball as much, because nobody's getting the ball as much. And they're going to end up trading Alex Smith and going with Patrick Mahomes. But everybody I talk to there tells me that won't happen until 2018, and that Andy's going to ride this Alex Smith thing out because he's been there 4 or 5 years. He knows the system inside out. You know, he's a proven commodity in so much as he's not generally going to cost you games. I don't know how many more he's going to win for them either, though. I mean, the Chargers and the Raiders are both a game behind them now. Man. And they go to the Jets, and then they play the Raiders, and then they play the Chargers. Like, middle of December, they could be like the 8 or 9 seed in the AFC. I mean, they could be firmly on the outside looking in.
One last question, and I'll get you to plug the podcast. The Eagles, if I'm not mistaken, they're at Seattle, at the Rams in the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
If they win both of those, it's lights out, right? I mean, then you'd have to say that's the best team.
Yeah, and even if they split, I mean, for two straight weeks on the West Coast, I think that they play another road game after that. I don't know that it's on the West Coast, but I believe they have three straight on the road because they've had a pretty good run at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just have to tread water now and, you know, hold on to the one seed. And then, you know, see what happens in the playoffs. But you have to be impressed with what they do because, you know, look at Pittsburgh. This league is, you kind of play down to who you're playing any given week. And, you know, if we only have to give 75% this week to win, that might be what it looks like. These dudes are just out there stomping people. Like, they're just saying, we're gonna do our stuff, and if you can't stop it, it's going to be a really long day for you. And They're beating the crap out of bad teams, which is, you know, how you flex your muscles and get your confidence and prepare yourself for the postseason.
All right, plug your podcast for us.
Hey, Tone, we're going to dissect that beautiful game last night at M&T. Man, that was one of the prettiest sights I've ever seen. I believe we're going to get Brandon Copeland on. He plays for the Lions. Unfortunately, he's hurt this year, but he went to Gilman High School. He's like
local.
An investment banker in the offseason, man. Wharton School and all that stuff, hobnobbing with the bigwigs. Yeah. It's a cool story. We'll tell it to you on BMOshow.com and Be More Opinionated Podcast, hon.
Thank you, Jason.
You got it, guys.
Jason Lockenfora, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. Nigel is here. Nigel had computer issues early. And that's probably why Nigel got mad at the song.
I took a shot at Nigel.
Yeah, Nigel looked cranky.
And Nigel punched him back.
Yeah, I'm just standing up for myself.
Exactly.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the MeUndies underpants read. Every year, millions of people receive the least liked gift of all time, underwear. But we still give it to our family and our loved ones who just don't want it. Maybe it's not that underwear is the problem. Maybe it's the kind of underwear. Mm. And let me tell you about MeUndies, the only underwear that makes for an amazing gift. And now I'm supposed to talk about how it's got a soft, flexible waistband. It's three times softer than cotton. And it uses naturally sustainable sourced fiber.
Bring back modal.
Yeah, modal or modal, that we were interested in that.
Right.
MeUndies made underwear the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for. It's a holiday miracle. This year, don't give underwear, give MeUndies. This holiday season, to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks you will ever wear. Again, where are the socks? I'd like to get the socks. You get free shipping. You get 100% satisfaction guarantee. And all you have to do is go to MeUndies, MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If you have spent your life just waiting on a miracle, I'm your miracle man.
You'll never know how many times we started this song, how many times the computer failed. But our friend Steve Lipton, Springfield, Virginia, writes, Dear Dr. Mr. Grandpa Tony, Steve Lipton from Springfield, Virginia, before I joined the ranks of the Jinglers, I was working on original song for my someday-to-be-recorded album, Bald Man in a Beauty Shop. Attached, you'll find Miracle Man, which I put together through the magic of GarageBand. This song can be found exclusively on this episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show podcast. Or if people know my email, they can drop me a line, use the promo code TonyK, and I suppose I could send them a copy for 75% off of nothing. It's a brilliant email and a great song. Michael, if people like Steve want to send us their original music and get it played on the show, how do they do it?
They can email the show and send their music to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com, and this song gets better with every restart.
This is a really good song.
Yes, it does.
Are we, GarageBand, I take it, as some sort of
it's
application?
On a computer. Yes, right. It is an application.
Yeah, something like that. And are we selling anything else today?
I just have big news that on Friday we are going to announce a new holiday promo code for
terrific.
Johnny O. So pay attention to that.
Yes, and then people will get a lot off on great clothing for the holiday season.
Promo code's going to be very
Nigel,
close
you
to my
have
heart.
Some news.
I do.
Can I just, before we get to the news,
yes?
Can I commend to people
of course you can,
Chuck
sure.
Culpepper's story today on Tennessee and on coaching in general? Chuck Culpepper at the Washington Post is very good. And I'm just going to – what is going on now – in fact, we can talk about this because neither David nor Tory was here yesterday when we first talked about the story with Greg Schiano, which is, to me, a very frightening development in the history of mob mentality in sports and how people don't get jobs. Tennessee, Greg Schiano now is rightfully fearing that he'll never get a head coaching job anywhere in the country. And he wants to collect the money that Tennessee had promised to him. Tennessee, trying to run away from this as fast as they can, is claiming that their chancellor never signed the memorandum offering Greg Schiano the job. So this is going to go to court, or there's going to be some sort of settlement. Tori, what did you make of the fact that this guy, without any particular proof of his involvement, and this is, I mean, we could attach this. I know we could go into Roy Moore. We could go into politics as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Without any particular proof of his involvement with Jerry Sandusky, other than that they were on the same staff together, is accused of condoning child molestation. And by the way, and in a college or a high school, no, you can't. You can't hire him. No, you can't if it's true, but there is no proof that it's
true. My first thought was, boy, I hope he gets a ton of money. Not only what they would have paid him as coach, but what he's getting for the damage to his reputation and his future employment. I hope he gets a ton of money.
I think you have to worry he's unemployable.
And I hope and I think there are some smart conversations going on at universities across this country. I hope, saying we cannot let mobs run our universities. Mm-hmm. We can't.
People
let this
running
happen.
The athletic department are now not paid by the athletic department. Mm-hmm. They're in the street.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm sure the school did a ton of research on. I mean, everybody for a job like that, they do a ton of research on.
Not it. Enough.
And well, not I don't know because I think in this case it was people who probably don't have firsthand knowledge of right. what actually happened right. who decided we're just going to go nuts and we know what we can do
and we don't
with
want
social
this
media
guy.
And we know what we can do showing up with our signs and we don't want this guy.
Yeah,
they cannot be allowed to run the show.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary stuff. And didn't Penn State put out something yesterday, or someone did specifically saying that he was not in any way involved?
Well, he did. What happened is there was a deposition.
Penn State did, yeah. Yes.
Mike McQuarrie, in a deposition, allegedly said, yeah. quoted another coach, not Schiano, as yeah. saying somebody named Greg on the defensive staff, which would be Greg right, Schiano. Right. Walked in here white as a ghost after what he saw with
right,
Jerry
right,
Sandusky.
Right. No, I know, but I saw yesterday that
and Penn State said
Penn State
he,
had no absolutely nothing to do with Jerry Sandusky. So there's there's no reason for Penn State to do that. He doesn't work there anymore. They don't have to do that if
But we agree that at this moment, Greg Schiano's toxic.
Well, I
at this moment.
I mean, I like to think somebody in that world and that universe of football knows him well enough. Right, and appreciates the research that was done. Supposedly, Tennessee looked at the free investigation and looked at every one of the 400 interviews that had been done, and his name did not come up anywhere in that. Yeah. Right, it's only been in reporting of what McQuarrie said. That's mm-hmm. the only place.
Right. I just think if Penn State specifically put out a release said that he had absolutely nothing to do with it, which, again, they did not have to do. That, to me, is that pushes me toward maybe you should give this guy a chance, you know. I might be wrong on that, but I think we would find out in short.
I think the first thing you have to do, you have to get rid of your AD at Tennessee.
Well,
you got to get
rid
of this.
Well, it depends
guy.
On whose decision it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I mean, who?
I doubt it was his decision
as they said to hire him. It was his decision to hire him.
No, I don't believe that.
So then you're saying that it goes higher up the chain
of sure.
Tennessee and nobody has a spine.
I promise
at
you. That's jobs of far less importance in profile
that's the
get
president's.
Tons more research.
Oh, that's the president's
and there are a number
call.
Of people who are involved
Tennessee
in
looks terrible.
That's the president's decision.
I think
right.
they look
terrible,
terrible from backing down on him.
Yeah.
They look
terrible.
Awful. Yeah.
The whole
yeah.
affair is terrible.
By the way, Jason Witten has stated that he is not going to take that job. There have been reports that he was going to leave the Cowboys immediately and accept the head coaching.
Jason Witten?
Yes. Who went to Tennessee. And
he's an active player
yes, that's
with no coaching experience
just,
right. whatsoever.
And just
signed an extension in the offseason. Yeah, he's like, look, coaching down the road, that I could see that as something I would want to get into. But right now what I'm thinking about is the Redskins on Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's who the Cowboys
Peyton Manning's play. Not taking that job either, and he went to Tennessee.
Neither is David Cutliff.
Right.
No.
So.
No, it's a bad look for Tennessee. No,
yeah.
No.
Mr. Tony, a fascinating story on the front page of the Washington Post. A woman approached the Post a few weeks ago claiming that Republican U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore had impregnated her as a teenager, and she wanted to talk to the paper about giving them her story and her information. Over a series of weeks, when they interviewed her, they started to have doubts about her. They decided not to run the story. And then they, I guess, decided to tail her. And they saw her walking into a building that, I think it's called Veritas.
Project Veritas.
Project Veritas, who have a reputation and have a history of doing these false stories to sort mm-hmm. of trap news entities into you know, committing to a story and saying, aha, so you got this wrong, so you might have gotten all these other stories mm-hmm. wrong. And so then Marty Baron works for the Post. And a very
He's the editor.
Yes, said, you know what, we're going to go to press with this and explain everything that went on with the situation.
Great. Good. Yeah, it's a great story.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
And people have time, watch the videos, the complete video that the Washington Post has of the interview with the woman who I believe, at least her alleged name is Jamie. Mm-hmm. And the Washington Post reporter several times for this very long session says, we're recording this. I just want you to know. Mm-hmm. And I want to say again, we are recording this. And the woman goes on and on. And then at the end, the woman goes, well, I don't want to go on the record. It's a little late for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very late for that.
Yeah.
And the reason you do this with the Washington Post is because it is the Post's original story
right,
of the
right.
women with Roy
course.
Moore.
Of course.
So,
yes.
so you try.
To the Post.
Now, and then the other question becomes, does Roy Moore have any knowledge, probably not, of trying to entrap the Post?
Who
but
knows?
I'll bet somebody on his staff probably has knowledge.
Well, who knows?
That's my guess.
That's my guess. These people, that's what this group has been doing.
Yeah.
It's a real, you should read, the story's really worth your time.
And good for the Post, because,
you know, it's just great job on that part.
Yeah, good for the Post to have their antenna up, to know when they're, you know, being scammed.
It's the Wild West, you were saying before we sat down.
It is absolutely the Wild West, and I actually think there's an opportunity here somewhere for somebody in journalism as the kind that you all grew up with.
Yes.
To say, okay, we need some standards. We need some rules. We need some principles. There are none, because I promise you there are plenty of people who probably watched that same video that I watched last night and thought, you know, good for this guy, whatever his name is from Project Veritas, O'Keefe. Good for them, right? Yeah, well, he might be skirting around the edges, but good for him. Right? People need some kind of standards here.
Well, it's two stories in a row that we're talking about where there's lack of standards.
Mm-hmm.
The Tennessee thing, there's a lack of proof standard on all of that.
Absolutely.
With Chiano, and this is a scam deal, mm-hmm. you know, that it's trying to entrap and embarrass a newspaper, which went out of its way in the first story to be scrupulous in everything mm-hmm. that it did. Mm-hmm. What else we got?
Your President Trump was in the news. Speaking to the World War II Navajo Code Talkers in an event to honor them, Trump said, "I just want to thank you because you're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here, although we have a representative in Congress who, they say, was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas." Of course, he was referring to Elizabeth Warren.
First of all, he calls her Pocahontas.
Yes.
They don't call her Pocahontas.
Yes, a spokesman... the Vice President of the Navajo Nation said, "We're very appreciative of President Trump honoring the Code Talkers first and foremost. It's unfortunate that President Trump would refer to Senator Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas in a joking way. Pocahontas, although she wasn't a Navajo, definitely was a historical figure in the foundation of this nation who was misrepresented in history. And so we as the Navajo Nation don't feel any member of any tribal nation should be used as the punchline of a joke." This all apparently took place as well in front of the portrait of former President Andrew Jackson, who, of course, signed into law the Indian Removal Act.
Nice.
Nobody was really thinking, what do you make of this?
As I said to you earlier, I've run out of adjectives. I just kind of stand there when I hear this stuff and pound my head. And first of all, the Navajo Code Talk is so spectacular.
Oh, it's right? Unbelievable.
So of all places, there's that.
But and for those that don't know the story, it was they were afraid that the Japanese would be able to break their code. So they had the Navajo guys just speaking in Navajo, and the Japanese were listening to it and being like, what's this? No idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's utterly spectacular. Brilliant. So, God, talk about an insult to incredible people. There's that. But then... I think we've discovered something here. Trump was referring to them as special people. Remember last week he was referring to women as special?
Mm-hmm.
I think when there's a constituency he just doesn't understand,
it's special.
Special.
Yeah.
Very special people. Special. It's just mind-boggling.
More bad news.
David just sunk his head.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
That's what
three
doing
more years, people. Three more years.
That's what they're doing, just sinking their head at the University of Virginia. A professor, John Casey, author of the 1989 novel Spartina, is being investigated for two complaints that he sexually harassed female students in the school's creative writing program. One recent
it's a terrible run for Charlottesville and the University
it's
of
just
Virginia.
The bad news doesn't seem
it's
to stop for them.
It's a terrible, terrible run.
Yeah, saying that he inappropriately touched students on the shoulders, buttocks, and lower backs and subjected them to unwanted and sometimes crude sexual comments. Emma Eisenberg is the student who first complained. She graduated.
That's why it's better just to insult people and then laugh.
Exactly.
Insult right. them. And
fold your hands in front of you and just yell insult.
Yeah. She made some allegations, and then because she spoke up, some other women stepped forward. So now there's about a handful of women.
Don't we have any good stories about stupid people in Florida being eaten by alligators?
Well, I
don't have anything like that.
I don't have a story from Florida, but I do have something from Barrington, Illinois.
Okay.
Barrington, Illinois. Right.
Happy news.
Julie Gagne, age 47, walked out of a restaurant. This is a few weeks ago, November 10th, and did not see her car there. So she called in and said, "My car's missing. I think it's been stolen." Called the police. Well, the police responded to a fire, a car on fire, a short distance away. It turned out that was the car she was talking about, an Infiniti QX70.
Oh, those are good cars.
It's a nice car.
Yeah.
So as they were putting the fire out, they noticed...
Did they find a bobcat in the grill like yesterday?
No, it's not a bobcat in the grill. A flamethrower in the bushes right next to it.
Hello.
Really?
And he said to Miss Garnier, "Would this happen to be your flamethrower?" And she said, "Oh, actually, that is my flamethrower. And at this point, I would like to withdraw the report that my car was stolen." What appears to have happened is that she took the flamethrower, which is the flamethrower, which costs about $1,600 and uses a mixture of about 3 gallons of fuel and napalm...
Where do you buy this?
For you history students.
Thanks for giving the price.
X15 flamethrower from manufacturer X-Matter LLC.
Yeah, for your holiday shopping.
Yes, Tony, so, I mean, T-O-N-Y.
If you, yes, use the code and get it for $1,200.
This could be a new sponsor on the show. Authorities are not clear as to why she took a flamethrower.
Was alcohol involved in any way?
It doesn't appear to
be. Did it really belong to someone else?
No, it belonged to her.
Wow.
No, she immolated her own car.
She think her boyfriend was in the car at the time.
And then reported stolen. I'm assuming this is some sort of insurance grab or something like that. But if you're going to do that, then you need to take the flamethrower very far away from the scene of the crime. Well, it's a very basic rule.
So in the great movie from last year, Hell or High Water, after they steal cars, they bury the cars.
Yes.
They excavate the ground and bury the cars.
That would seem to be a better plan. So Julia Gagné is facing charges. We're not sure exactly what she will be facing.
Spectacular.
And also the Finns are making bread made out of insects.
There you go.
Saw that.
You care that story?
Oh, what is that?
A lot of protein.
Marcus Hellstrom, head of the Fazer Group's bakery division, said that this new type of bread, one loaf contains about 70 dried house crickets ground into powder and added to the flour. The farm-raised crickets represent 3%
of the bread's
weight.
Well, at least they're
farm-raised,
you know.
Finns,
very noisy
bread. It's very organic, Finns are known to be willing to try new things. Good taste and freshness were among the main criteria for the bread.
There's about, by the way, the country of Finland probably has less than 2 million people in it. It's statistically unimportant. So.
More crickets than people, as they say.
Well, less and less as bread is being made. All right, we will take a break at this point. We will come back with Old Guy Radio.
That's right.
Tori is having, we're going to talk to David about a couple of games last night.
Okay.
Including the Detroit Pistons, of whom I can name one Detroit Piston, and they're very, very good all of a sudden.
5.5 million people living in Finland.
Wow.
You were
Greenland.
You were loud wrong on that
one. I was really wrong on that. It's not the first time today. It's not going to be the last time.
It's only Tuesday.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read, and I bring this up because Michael said that the Capital Weather Gang has said that in the Washington, D.C. area, in the next 2 weeks, what's going to happen?
Oh, there's some storms moving in. A lot of volatility in that air.
Winter air.
Winter air.
Winter air.
Time to cook inside.
And winter makes me think of Blue Apron, of course.
And this Friday, Kip Scheman will be on the show.
The Winter Weather.
Yes.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
But
you know what we also ought to get this week? We ought to get Steve Sands because of Tiger.
Oh, sure.
So we should get
Tiger hitting
We should get
four
Sands.
Under unofficial practice round yesterday.
We should get tomorrow or Thursday.
Sure.
And Tori, I mentioned Blue Apron, and you said
yes,
you had something
I had a great
nice
customer service. You want to do the read, and then I do it?
No, just do it now, because this is personal experience.
About 10 days ago, I wanted to delay or not have the shipment during Thanksgiving week, because we wouldn't need it. And I was trying to do it online, and it was a problem. And then they said customer service, and you call customer service. And they're not open. It was because it was 9 o'clock at night. But I left a message, right? And I sent an email. And about 15 minutes later, Corbin calls me.
Corbin
P.
Corbin
calls,
Birdson?
And he says, and he was from somewhere in Alabama, like Wapetka, Alabama.
All right.
And he was very nice. And I said, oh, so thank you so much for calling. It's not that big a deal, but I'm trying to shift it. And he goes, yeah, sometimes it's hard to, on your phone. Are you doing this from your mobile? And I said, yes. And he showed me how to do it. And I got it fixed. And they pushed our Thanksgiving week order off to the following week.
Good. So that is a personal testimony.
Yes.
And it says here, we want to hear about food you love to cook and eat. And obviously they want to hear from you about anything. Yep. We all eat dinner, but we believe with Blue Apron we make incredible home-cooked meals accessible for any night of the week. We have a team of professional chefs putting in a lot of care into creating recipes each week. We need your help bringing this food to life for your listeners. I'm supposed to do that, but what better testimonial than what you just said?
And I think the fish has gotten better. We were big fans of the meat and the chicken, but I think the fish has gotten better.
All right. Well, Blue Apron is treating listeners of this particular podcast to their first dinner, a $30 value if you visit blueapron.com/TonyK. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/TonyK. BLUEAPRON. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. There you go.
There you go. Done and done.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Ain't New York City. It's cold and it's dark.
Old Guy Radio for the day.
And all the people dressed like monkeys.
It's so Randy Newman. This is I Love LA.
Chicago.
He's 74 years old today. And if he hasn't won the Gershwin Prize for creating great music as Paul Simon has won, he should win.
Yeah.
Great song.
It's just a great song. He's been nominated for the Academy Awards 20 times. He's won a few of them.
Yeah, won twice.
Yeah.
He's won 3 Emmys and 6 Grammys and the Governor's Award from the Recording Academy.
He's just brilliant. He's just brilliant. Do you have information on this?
Yeah, the song was originally on the 1983 album Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah, became the anthem of the Olympics in 1984.
And the Lakers.
And you say, well, who is that big nasty redhead? We've all seen the video. Yeah. Apparently that's Laura Howard Granito. That's her married name, Granito. She's originally from Cypress, California, now resides in Seattle. That's all the information I have about it, but that's who it is.
That's good.
Yes.
So, Tori, you're planning a party.
Yes, sir.
And what is
you're all invited?
Yes. Is Tony actually invited?
Yes. And what is the
not
big
expected
attraction?
To show.
What is the big attraction?
Live nativity, baby.
Now,
I'm sorry. Say again.
Live nativity.
Okay, so
Nigel, you've been invited.
I'm not. That's not my side of the street.
No, but
if somebody talks to me about the nativity, I have a very clear picture of what that is.
Sure.
And when you say it's live, are we going to have a birth? What I mean,
I hadn't thought about that.
What is
do we
it?
Know anybody that who's pregnant?
Cool. A virgin birth.
Do we know anybody?
That would
be spectacular.
I mean,
had not that thought that
you're
far.
Saying it's live. Yeah. This is the word is the creche.
Okay. But we all know I like animals more than people.
Oh, so yeah. Oh, so you're just.
But
gonna,
by the way, there's bidding underway for who gets to be the baby Jesus. no, about this a little bit later than this time last year. My daughter Devin and I were driving around. We were over on Mass Ave, and we're coming down the street, and there was a live nativity scene there, and there were animals.
Do it live!
So, there of course, go. Thank you. So, of course, we could just play that all night long. And so we stopped, and the sheep and the donkey, and they were adorable, and she says, we got to do this. And I said, okay, next year we'll do this.
Wait. But there was no Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Well, there were people dressed as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Are you going to rent people who will do that? How?
Well, we're going to have costumes there because we have one friend in particular I won't name because he probably wouldn't want to be named who's always wanted to be a wise man. So there will be a costume for him to don the wise man outfit and perhaps do a few photo ops with the animals.
Could you,
but it's more about the animals.
Could I dress up like Edward G. Robinson and be a wise guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Same. Exactly.
Same.
You take it.
Same.
Any
baby Jesus. Same. So
take it any direction you want.
What kind of animals? Like, would you go rent a reindeer?
Well, I don't think reindeer were at the birth of the baby Jesus.
Oh, who's there? Just sheep,
a donkey
goats?
And I think we have a donkey and a goat and a cow and 2 camels
and a monkey.
Wow. We threw in a few extra bucks.
Wait, you're gonna have a camel?
2.
That's enormous.
2. Michael, Michael could come and have his picture taken on the camel.
Ride the camel.
Yeah.
How are you going to get camels?
They come in a trailer.
This is fantastic.
Where does one obtain a camel? Like Camels R Us?
The Google machine.
Isaacson, you can get a Black Friday special on a flamethrower.
He
looked that up. You can actually get that.
But there is some betting underway as to who should play the baby Jesus. And some say our son Charlie because he's 6'4", and that'd be hilarious. And other people say Russ the Corgi.
Sure.
But then Nigel, I don't know if you heard this last week, and smart people sent this to me. Some company in the UK got in trouble because they had a little holiday ad in which they had a nativity scene, and they had a little sausage roll as the baby Jesus with a bite taken out of it.
And that was
and some people shockingly thought that was sacrilegious. Shocking.
It was good sausage.
So, yeah. But we'll have some drinks and some snacks. And
that will be
this is
animals.
Unbelievable.
6 foot Jesus. Hey, I'm Jesus. How you doing?
Yeah.
Jesus, how you doing?
But David, I like your idea. People can take this any direction they want.
Yeah, can I take your coat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can Jesus be the coat checker?
That would
be brilliant.
Wow, it's just so, I mean, because I'm on the other side of the street, I'm sort of reluctant to make the kinds of remarks that I would make, but this is so great.
Everyone is welcome.
It's so great.
Yeah.
It's so
awesome. But not Pontius Pilate.
He probably should stay away.
Did you do anything special for Thanksgiving? Did you Black Friday sales, anything? Did you do anything?
Do not do Black Friday sales, no.
No?
No, but we were out in lovely Rappahannock County, land of no cell phones, which is great.
Yeah.
Two turkeys, the baked turkey and the deep fried turkey, which is always exciting. As many times as we've done the deep fried turkey.
It's always the possibility of it exploding.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, did not.
Okay,
did
that's
not.
Good.
But then you take the remaining 18 gallons of peanut oil, which is very, very expensive, and you tell your kids to take it up into the woods and dump it. Animals from 1,000 miles away can smell that oil.
Oh, yeah. And they come and just lick
it. It was like the wildebeest migration. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
and you got to keep the dogs inside because they want it too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. David, did you do anything extraordinary?
We went to Carmine's. That's what we do.
Right, nice. Which is, that's good. Yeah, but you didn't do any Black Friday sales or anything?
No. I don't do Black. I don't like the people.
They fired the Memphis guy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like he was there for an hour and a half, and what's that about?
It's about Marc Gasol and him not getting along. And as you know, the history of this with NBA players especially is NBA players, 8 million, coaches, zero.
Starting with Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens in this league.
Paul Westhead.
That's
Paul
right.
Westhead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, look, you got a choice here. You keep him or you get rid of me.
Exactly. Paul, could you come in for a minute?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so they fired David. You know, it's terrible firing because he was a very good young coach and paid his dues and really tried to change things around there and was – strafed by injuries to their key players and you know their best player is not playing because he's hurt and he's gonna be out for a while and it just is bad. It's bad form. It doesn't look good for Memphis to do this, especially considering where are they going with this group. You know, this they've kind of crossed the Rubicon. They've gotten away from the way they've played the last few years, and so you got the sense that they were sort of going towards rebuilding, which would make sense with a young head coach.
Right,
but now they're not going
to
do that.
That's two gone and 28 to go. who's next on the hot seat?
Oh wow, I don't know who's on the hot seat. I don't know that anybody right now. Has Phoenix fired their coach?
Brad Stevens. They lost last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Brad Stevens
on the hot seat. Stevens,
you know all the teams that are rebuilding, like Dallas, you know, obviously Ricardo is not in any trouble. So, and Brooklyn just, you know, they're in a perpetual rebuild. So, on
Chicago?
I don't think so. I mean, if they were going to do something again, well, this is actually the exception to the rule where Jimmy Butler basically said, it's him or me. And they said, okay, we're going to trade you and we're going to keep Fred Hoiberg. So that's one rare exception where the coach went out in a deal like that. But I think everybody else is pretty safe right now. Now watch somebody get fired now.
So have you been on the TNT set at all since the statue of Barkley was unveiled in
Auburn?
Well,
no, that was Saturday, and right. I haven't been on the air.
So you haven't been on the air. So
well, I was on the air, but not in Atlanta.
Have you seen the statue or pictures
I
of the
statue?
I
saw it on YouTube, yes.
He there. Must be thrilled beyond words.
As he said, I'm glad y'all went with Skinny Barkley. It's a beautiful statue.
But I mean, of all the things that one could aspire to,
oh,
you
sure.
say to yourself, you never.
You can't do better than that. How can you do better than that?
It's a statue.
Yeah, it's a statue of me.
I think I just.
You know, that's
I
pretty
think
cool.
That's great.
That goes forever.
I can see one of you out in front of Chatter someday.
There you go.
You know, if you mind your P's and Q's. And,
yeah, well, yeah. I could be there now and I'd be spinning. I would spin that Chatter sign. LeBron scored early and often last night.
Yes.
He went to Philadelphia, and it looked like, and I, you know, because who knows how this stuff works, but it looked like LeBron just basically wanted to say to Philadelphia, okay, back off for a little while, because you're going to be good, but not now.
Not yet. Not yet. That was a not yet game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30-13.
Yeah.
30-13, and they won by 21.
And they did.
And Simmons hurt his ankle.
Sprained his ankle, yeah. After I wrote laudatory stuff about him in the morning about how great he was, he sprained his ankle. And they didn't play well. But that's okay. They're a young team. And they're going to be good very soon, probably this year. But, yeah, we're still the, you know, king of the East.
And that's personal, isn't it, with him?
Well, I think it's so hard for him, I think, after all these years to really get motivated to play an individual game in an 82-game season. So you take your motivations where you can get them, and that was a natural motivation game on the road against a young, up-and-coming team that's been winning games.
That's right. And who everybody loves and wants to see do well because they were so terrible for a long time.
Right, right.
And they love the Colangelos, even though...
Sure.
So I'm reminded of this, and people have no idea what I'm talking about now because this is very localized in the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story about some really young kid, 13-year-old kid, who's a good basketball player at a local high school. And if you see pictures of him at 13, you go, wow, he doesn't look 13 at all. Right. He looks 18 or 19 or 20 or something like that. And I'm bringing this around to LeBron James. Because when LeBron James was drafted into the NBA, he was 18 or 19 years old. And he was a beast. Physically.
Big, strong kid, yes.
The sort of, it's like Herschel Walker where you go, wow, he can't be this age. LeBron James, from the moment he walked into the league, was the most important, most scrutinized, most talked about player in the entire league. He's 32 or 33. He's been here an awfully long time.
Right.
And I'm not sure that he made any big missteps at all. He has been this guy, and he has understood the role and the responsibility as well or better than anybody ever in this sort of circumstance. I'm just sort of looking
comments. No, I could not agree more with you. I think for somebody who had that much hype and attention, he has pretty much lived up to all of it.
Could have been Johnny Manziel.
You know?
Could have gone the other way. Could have.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. You know, and really with no playbook. I mean, that's the most impressive thing to me is that this is a kid from Akron, Ohio.
No particular education.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a smart guy, but, you know, not brilliant. And I'm not being critical. I'm not brilliant either, you know, but...
You're on this show.
Yeah, well. So he's figured all of this out kind of on his own. And I will say again, when he did have a kind of doctrinaire agent that had represented a lot of guys, and it was a smart move. And he said, you know what? I want my friends to represent me.
Which I thought would be a disaster.
And we all thought it would be a disaster.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't. And they've been very responsible people and done very well for themselves individually. And good for them and good for him, because they have done it on their own and they deserve all the accolades because of that.
And he picked his spots to do certain things. He picked his spots on Trayvon Martin.
Sure.
And he picked his spot on Phil Jackson. I love Phil Jackson. And I thought LeBron overreacted to the thing of posse. But you know what? From his point of view, I totally got it. And he was saying, I'm going to flex a little bit now because you should not have done this. And it is very hard to look at him and think that he's done it badly at all.
There is the only misstep that I can think of was the Decision TV show, which was horrible and a bad decision. They shouldn't have done it.
And he owned up to it.
And the next time they did it better. And what else can you do? What else can you ask from somebody? The next time they did it better. They did it much better. So, you know, it's so I think he's been remarkably consistent over a long period of time, with a lot of attention on him.
So I teased this just early, just briefly. The Detroit Pistons are 13-6.
Oh, yeah.
They were dreadful last year.
They were.
They've got a great player in Andre Drummond who went for like 22-20.
Well, he is now. He won last year. He was terrible last year.
And I thought they were done, and I thought Stan Van Gundy was an overrated blowhard. And now it looks like I'm totally wrong on this. With players I've never heard of, how are they doing this?
Well,
and are they real?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think so. It's hard to say. We're a quarter of the way through a regular season. But, you know, Drummond is playing great. And he was terrible last year. He was awful. He was out of shape. He wasn't committed. He was terrible at the foul line. They couldn't play him down the stretch. And now, even though he's not shooting great, he's shooting a lot better from the foul line. And he is engaged and giving them tremendous effort every night at both ends of the floor. Reggie Jackson's healthy. He wasn't healthy last year. Tobias Harris has been one of the best players in the league so far. So they're it's a
team.
And
to me, these are marginal players.
It's a team. Well, they're good players, but they're not. Nobody would think of any of them as great players.
That's right.
Drummond was the guy that had the potential maybe to be a great player, and he's playing great. And they're going 7, 8, 9 deep and getting production out of everybody. And Avery Bradley is there, who they got from Boston, who is just a stand up guy. And a heck of a two-way player. So right now, they're playing very well. Very impressive win last night. That's really impressive to go into Boston and beat Boston.
Who's done that?
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, so again.
And they've beaten Golden State
I told you, when I was wrong just a little while ago, it wouldn't be the last time today.
Right, we're all wrong. No, I mean, they've beaten Boston, Golden State on the road. That's pretty impressive.
Golden State's already lost 5 or 6 games.
If they lost 5 games?
I think they lost last night again. I think it's 6. I think they're 5 or 6.
Okay.
And here's the thing. They're the best team. And everybody knows they're the best team. And so you don't have to
worry
about
them. And they know they don't have to play at this time of year.
No, and they're resting guys because they don't want guys to get hurt.
They did lose. They lost 110 to 106 to the Sacramento Kings, yeah, and that, which is 15
but,
and 6
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but that was no Durant and no Curry last night. So.
But so they're not doing what they did 2 years ago because they learned from
They learned a lesson, yeah.
They learned from that. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have emails and jingles, yes?
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Comes Tony's mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gonna read some for all you folks.
That, of course, is Gary Braun's version. The original.
The original, yeah, that's original, right. Mailbag. The original mailbag.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me say thank you to Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports for coming on the show. Thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek, MeUndies, and Blue Apron. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave a review. There, we got a nice email from David, signed David, about the noise level and asking people to just sort of respect the show.
Yeah.
But he said it with a kind of colorful language that I cannot read over the air.
Yeah.
But it gave me a deal of enjoyment to read it. And Tori, speaking of enjoyment, the fact that you are renting camels, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Actual camels.
It's a nice little moment in the holiday season, I think.
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. from Ann Gilpin, I love your show, never miss it. But you and Wilbon get on a riff of what ifs. If Bama beats Georgia, if Georgia loses to Auburn, but if Auburn loses to Clemson, but if Clemson goes to Ohio State and wins, if Notre Dame does or doesn't win out, if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State, if Miami, and on and on and on it goes until I'm trying to fast forward through to the Harry's ad. 10 times worse than listening to old people deconstruct how they drove to your house for Thanksgiving, what route they took, where they stopped for gas, how clean the bathrooms were, and who forgot their medication. And by the way, tell Saliza that George II was king in the 1700s, just before George III, who was king during the American Revolution. Once again, fake news CNN. From Greg Freitag in Syracuse, New York. And why do I think that name is very familiar to me?
Freitag, I mean, it's Friday, doesn't it?
4 countries surrounded by one other country, Vatican City, San Marino, Swaziland, and Omaha, Nebraska. Please thank Chris for the information. From Ken in D.C., a dear Dr. Mr. Bootsy's Pawpaw, on Monday's show, I believe Chris Fake News Saliza said that Queen Elizabeth's father was George II. George II was the father of George III, who you might remember from a little thing we like to call the American Revolution. If Chris is confused by this, maybe he should ask Ian Khan, who his enemy is on turn, instead of fanboying about Dawson's Creek. Queen Elizabeth's dad was George VI, about whom Herman's Hermits did not sing. This is a great takedown. Just a great takedown. From Rick Devens, who is an anchor in WGXA in Macon, Georgia. Quick question. Is Give Harry's Give Handsome a good line? Asking from me and one other regular guy. That's very funny. Here's one from Mike McKittrick in Washington, Indiana. 45 years ago, 3 of my 20-something friends and I exited a bar in no condition to walk, much less drive, but drive we did. With Ike behind the wheel, we sped down Meridian Street at a breathtaking 5 miles an hour tops. Occasionally bumping against the curb, began playing a game of count the slats in the picket fence we were passing. Yes, that slow. It was all hilarious until the red light and siren behind us interrupted the festivities. As Ike braked hard to a jolting stop and began fumbling for his license and registration, Bob said, "Ike, he'll smell your breath, know you're drunk, here's some gum." A foolproof plan. Ike was chewing and folding up the tinfoil wrapper as the officer approached his already rolled down window. The officer asked him for his ID and registration. With the tightly folded wrapper still in hand, Ike looked at the officer, handed him the shiny ball, and said with confidence, "Officer, I think this silver bullet is the only ID I need." Though initially hilarious, of course, this ultimately proved to be a bad move.
Yeah, ultimately.
But a hell of a memory. From Josh Dornbrack in Bristol in the United Kingdom. Dear Mr. Tony, I'm a millennial listener in the UK, but originally from Swaziland. Please tell Michael, does this mean I hit 3 demographics? Thanks for all the laughs and good times over the years. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. Of course your heart wasn't in Black Friday shopping this year. Once you've gotten free orange pants, it's hard for anything else to measure up. From Chuck Petruccioni in Walcott, Connecticut. Dear Dr. Grandpa, on last night's Jeopardy, in a category about manias, they gave the following clue, which made me sit up and shout, "Hey, I know that mania." It reads, quote, "Similar to Detective TV Detective Monk, you have a compulsive desire to do this if you have arithmomania. Obviously, they were looking for counting as the correct response. While I was excited to learn there's an actual name for this disorder, I was disappointed they didn't name drop my favorite Orange podcaster's name in the clue. Well, I don't think anybody knows I do that, just counting incessantly. Yeah, what can I say? Other State Department littles from all over the world would have filled up my inbox after Monday's show. Here's a scenic photo from Swaziland, which is not encircled by South Africa for your enjoyment. This is from Michael Lombardo, who is in here and gave us this, which I play now.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows. Take cover and await further instructions.
Thank you, everybody.
That is great.
When will this end? The pain and the confusion. I might just say that we've lost everything tonight. What can we do? Can we do? Win back what we fought for? It's all too easy. Just take a breath and close your eyes. This time, I'm sure that you'll realize. Don't you ever think twice. Wouldn't it be nice? Come on, you know you want to run. Spread your wings and fly. The dream will never die.
If you ask me.